Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Every team, every topic, everywhere, this is Believe.
What's going on, guys? It's your boy Thunder Chats here with another word from our presenting sponsor, BetOnline.ag. BetOnline remains your number one source for all your college basketball betting this season. Get analysis of every play, prop, and point at BetOnline. You'll find the latest odds, bracket contests, team matchups, and game trends at BetOnline. Updated odds for everything from live games to conference championships, right through the Final Four in the championship game. BetOnline is your college basketball headquarters this season. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to sign up and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Be sure to use our promo code BELEAV, that is capital letters BLEAV, to receive your bonus. One more time, that is BLEAV, capital letters. BetOnline.ag, where the game starts. And welcome back, everybody, to another edition of the Topic Thunder podcast. I am your host, Dylan Hunsinger, at Thunder Chats. We are part of the Believe Network, and this podcast is brought to you by BetOnline.ag. This podcast is about the Oklahoma City Thunder. You may have heard of them. They're going to the playoffs, baby. I am joined by some exuberant young men in this podcast right now. First, we've got the one and only, the man that is labeled eighth seed baby, Alejandro, Alex Roy. What's up, Alex?
I'm great, man. I haven't felt this way in a while, man. Like, we going all the way, baby.
We championship, boys. We championship.
Championship.
Now, before we get to some more optimism, I've got to go to the wet blanket. He throws a little bit of pessimism on our playoff hopes, but Tierney, how are you feeling today?
This is like the second introduction you've done now, where you just like. You just intro me in like the worst possible way. And I don't know what I did to you. Damn. I don't know what I did to you.
Dylan's least favorite member of the pod, Matt.
Yeah. I guess. Like,
I'm just putting it like, was, you because you always
say. Before you even said that, I was going to say I was hoping you weren't going to do a Gabe introduction because. fun fact, the whole time we were doing that pod, in my head, I thought you were talking about Toby from The Office. And I was that's kind of insulting, but it's not that bad. But then I realized it was Gabe, who's way worse. And it was just like, wow, that's horrible. But no, thanks for another negative introduction. It's great to be here, I guess. I'm happy to see everybody else, minus Dylan, because they're nice to me. I don't know why. I look like I've been crying. I was looking in the camera. No one's going to see it.
Well, because Dylan's been bullying you.
Because I've been getting bullied by him. It's just bringing me to tears. But I just have allergies, I guess. So it just looks weird. But yeah, I love being on podcast now, minus Dylan, where the Thunder are just like in the best spot possible. I feel like that happened last week. We were in like a really high point. So it just seems like every Tuesday now.
They got higher, baby.
Yeah, they just keep getting better and better. And so I'm excited to talk about it with you guys and just have a blast.
Tuesday pods for the win, man.
Yeah, just like hypothetical situations of winning it all. And it's just fun. Just do it.
Yep, just do it, man. Nike. And, you know, again, like I wasn't trying to throw shade at you.
No,
I was just poking
fine.
Fun at
it's
you
whatever.
Because
no,
you've been
you
saying we're tanking still.
And I've been very clear. I do that because it keeps working. So you're welcome.
Oh, yeah. Reverse jinx. Gotcha.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, he's been sitting very quietly waiting his turn. We've got to go to the underscore. Mr. Playback himself. Mr. Bleacher Report. Mr. YouTube. The one, the only, three cone. What up, Connor?
I'm amped. I said it before the pod. I've got reckless takes to throw out there. I've been super optimistic for a while now. I'm feeling even more optimistic. Let's just do the pod. Let's just do the pod. Let's do it. I'm ready.
I'm excited for us to just like give out the most wild takes that like 2 months from now are like, wow, we are way too positive.
The title of this pod is going to be Reckless Abandon. Just go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's fine.
I like it. Well, hey, guys, I mean, you know what we got to do. The Thunder played a basketball game tonight. We played the Brooklyn Nets, the new look Nets, which, by the way, shout out to the Nets. I like the new look. But we played a basketball game tonight, and whenever we talk about a basketball game, we've got to talk about the single large item. So let's get into it, boys. Tierney, since you are the subject of bullying, I'm going to give you the first single large item.
I did this last time, too, and I told you I need to get ready. It's fine. Whatever. You just hate me. It's, okay, hold on.
While he's doing this, I just got to say, I didn't compare him to Gabe. I compared him to Jared from Silicon Valley.
I know.
Which some people say is worse than Gabe or better than Gabe. I love Jared. I think he's hilarious. I think he's the moral center. And, you know, he just has mannerisms like Tyranny. That's all I mean by it. It's not a slight at all.
I haven't seen the show, so I don't know how insulted I need to be. But I know Gabe from The Office, so I'm just... If he's anything like that, it's really insulting.
And that was but topic anyway. Silicon Valley.
Absolutely. Go ahead, Tierney. So what you got?
So I'm going to be nice and give you guys the other ones that I think are going to come up. So I'm going to... my single large item tonight is going to be Lou Dort's shooting. Because for some reason... He just decided to light it up tonight. They
no
were letting
wet blanket
him...
on him.
No, no wet blanket on him.
We need him in that corner the rest of the season. Do not let Lou leave that corner.
Yep, that's his assignment for the foreseeable future. They were letting him shoot because he's historically not been great, but he just went off. I think, was it the third quarter?
Mm-hmm.
Most of those? Yeah.
Yes.
So, Lou Dort's shooting. Just, I don't think it's probably not going to last that long. But hey, maybe he keeps it up. Who knows?
Yeah, 6 of 11 from 3 for the game.
Game 7, Dort.
Yeah, 6 of 11 from 3 for the game for Lou Dort. Hit 5 of them in the third quarter. I think he missed only one in the third quarter. And you know, we came into halftime down 10. And we ended the third quarter up 8, and a lot of it was because of Lee Dort's 3-point barrage. Like, he added 15 points by himself just from the 3-point shooting, and he wasn't the only person doing stuff out there. But yeah, like that, I think the first bucket out of halftime was a Lee Dort 3, so it really kind of got the Thunder going.
Yeah, it was crazy to watch because it was just, it was one after another after an, there was like one early on right at the beginning of the third. Then he had a stretch of like 3 back to back to back. Mm-hmm. And then it was another couple minutes and he hit that last one. I think that either tied it up or gave us the lead. And it was like he completely put the team on his back over that stretch hitting 5. Or was it all 6 all in the third quarter?
No, he hit
I was trying to find the split.
Okay, I was going to say, I thought there was one earlier on. I know there were 5 in the third quarter. But, like, ridiculous stuff. You don't see that typically from Lou. That was his season high, 6 threes, which probably isn't very surprising. But, like, when Lou is hitting threes like that, I mean, we were down, what, like, we were down 10 at half. We were down by 16 points towards the end of that first half. And then in the third quarter, we end up going up by double digits because of Lou shooting as well as the play of other guys. But when Lou is knocking down threes like that, there's not many ways to stop this offense because if he's hitting his threes, it almost looked like it was like him if he was the little kid in the Thunderstruck movie and Isaiah Joe was Kevin Durant and he just stole his shooting talent in this game. Because Joe's been struggling a little bit recently, which he's earned the right to struggle a bit because he's been shooting 45% from deep all season.
Yeah.
But just to see Lou have that stretch, it's really great, especially because he's been like statistically the worst shooter in the NBA since the All-Star break, at least amongst guys that put up volume shots. So to see him snap out of the slump in a big way in this game it's huge for this team going down the stretch and what is all of a sudden a super big stretch for this Thunder team and for the Thunder going forward.
If the Thunder make the playoffs by one game, then this game, Lou deserved every one of that $15 million contract that he has right now. He earned it in this game.
Yeah. One last thing, because while I was looking up, I was trying to look up the splits for Lou, but I couldn't find him. I'm just looking at game by game. Apparently, he's just now like does this thing where like once a month he gets hot from three. So I think this was just his one this month, because he's done it December 15th. He did it January 15th. He did it February 26th, and today is March 14th. So by that, I mean he's made at least four or more threes in a game. So he was on cue.
Yeah, and Cone mentioned, like, you know, we need to keep Lou in the corners. And we talked about, like, throughout the offseason after the draft, like, with Chet on this team, Lou Dort was going to take kind of a backseat in the offense. He wasn't going to have as many ball handling opportunities. His offense was going to be simplified. And, you know, that's something that I and a lot of us have said, like, Lou Dort's shots are going to be simplified to the corners, and he's going to be more of a either catch and shoot guy or attack closeout guy. He's not going to handle a lot of, you know, ball handling opportunities. He's going to be that kind of guy on offense and really attacking on defense. But with Chet going out, other opportunities presented themselves throughout the roster. And, you know, it's just a testament to, you know, kind of our thinking in the off season that this works, not just for Lou Dort, it works for our offense. And, you know, there was a couple instances tonight where you just allow your mind to wonder what it would look like if it was Chet on the other end of some of these passes, if it was Chet in the lane on defense. And like, yeah, your mind can go some crazy places. So before it does that, Alex, are you still there? Because I know you got to get off in a second. I was going to let you go next.
Oh, yeah, man. Just this stretch by Jalen Williams, by J-Dub, has been – it's amazing, man. Like, he's like – him averaging, like, basically 23 points per game for about the past nine games, ten games. Small sample size, yes, but just the way that he's done it. Like, he you know, one game he has to basically take over Shea's role because Shea's not playing. Another game he has to just, you know, this game, like tonight, he basically just picked his spots throughout the game and was just very efficient throughout the entire game. And that's basically what he's done over this stretch of like 10 games. And it's just been something that you look at it and his imprint on the game has been all over the place. It's not just scoring, you know, it's defensively, you know, he picked, you know, at the end of the game, basically to seal the game, he picked the pocket of, it was a Dinwiddie, I think it was, and drove it down. It was Bridges. Okay. Drove it down the lane, two long arm people against, you know, against each other, drove it down the lane, got the and one. And hit the free throw at the end and put us up, I believe it was by like 13 at the end of the game. That basically sealed it. Just his play has been great. And, you know, you kind of see the markings. You know, I've heard, you know, like John Hamm and I think it was John Hamm or was it? It was somebody on OKC After Dark or the Dream Team. You know, they were talking about, you know, they let their mind go to Scottie Pippen and Kawhi Leonard type levels. And it's there. You know, it's the possibility is there as far as like that type of player, you know, right next to somebody that scores a lot in Shea. And so it was just awesome to see him another game where, you know, you had a three-headed monster / four-headed monster in this one. And, you know, Jalen was, for the most part, the second best player on that, you know, in that game. So it was just awesome to see that.
Yeah, I just when the game ended, I tweeted out J-Dub's stats since the All-Star break. He's played 10 games since the break. 21 points per game, 5.5 rebounds, 4.9 assists, 2 steals, 58.5% from the field, 46.7% from three, 84.4% from the line. Like, is that good? It's pretty good. Like, that is
not bad.
With the defense that he's been playing, those are like borderline all-star type numbers if extended over the course of an entire season. Now, I'm not saying J-Dub's going to do that for the whole season next year, but he just accelerates everything we're doing so much. The fact that, because every team has to get, and I'm going to say like lucky in like quotation marks, because I think, you know, according to Brian Windhorst, like OKC saw J-Dub, they said he's the one we want. But every team has to get lucky. You're not going to always get like the top top three pick, top two pick, the number one overall pick. You can't just only hit on those picks to succeed in a rebuild. You have to hit on the guys below that. We've already hit on J-Dub. Like, J-Dub could literally be this player for the rest of his career, and it's a hit at 12th overall. Like, this guy who's a great glue guy, can play defense, can score consistently. Like, when J-Dub figures out how to draw fouls, how do you stop him from scoring consistently? It's ridiculous. The finishes that he had, like, that Magic Johnson-type baby hook over Nick Claxton in this game, who for most of the year has been in running for Defensive Player of the Year. It's ridiculous. He just finds his spot so well. The playmaking's there. The defense, at the beginning of the season, we saw the flashes, but now we're seeing it like consistently with the steals, getting in passing lanes, the athleticism, the burst too. It's just ridiculous. And the fact that we got this guy at 12th overall, I would have been cool if we were getting a guy playing like this at second overall, and we still have Chet in the wings waiting to play. It just accelerates the timeline so much. He really, like, of course, Shea, his play has been a big difference. The play of, you know, like Isaiah Joe coming onto the scene, Giddy's having a solid sophomore campaign, and everybody in between. But J-Dub really is like the difference between us making the playoffs and or being in this playoff race and not being in the race at this point in the season. If we didn't have J-Dub, if he's not playing like this, we're not in this conversation. And that's part of why I've completely switched. I've been tried to be objective all year, but J-Dub is my rookie of the year. And I think a lot more people are coming along to that. I do think Paolo is still going to win, but the impact that J-Dub is having, he doesn't quite have the stats of Paolo, but what he's been doing, especially in the second half of the season, while Paolo's numbers have dipped a little bit, the impact that he's making on a team that is pushing for the playoffs, and if the season ended today, would have the chance to win two play-in games to make it in. What he's doing right now, I've switched, and it's a little bit of bias, yes, but I really do think he's got a great argument for truly being like the rookie of the year with the way that he's been playing.
I wonder if it could be like a Scotty Barnes situation from last year where, you know, he had the stats, but he also had team success.
Yeah. I think we had mentioned that earlier, like, cause Scotty Barnes is the example of the, not the stats, but the winning culture. And just comparing season stats between Paolo and Jalen, it is obviously still Paolo. Jalen's got like, it's crazy looking at his season stats and then looking at where he is now. It's like a totally different player. He's like low 30% from three. I just had it up. Where is it? 13 points a game. He's like not doing that at all right now. And I didn't realize Cone was going to had the stats from All-Star break. I just picked like, I was going to pick like very specific timelines of where he was playing really well. So I picked the last, I think this is the last eight games he's played, and it's like slightly better. So it's like 50% from three and 22 points per game. So I just wanted to throw that out there. It's like, oh, maybe if we select this spot, it'll make him look even better. So
even more propaganda. Exactly.
That just feed the fire a little bit. But this game, I catch the half. My stream was bugging out. Dylan, fortunately, had one for me. But I caught the second half, and there was, I think it was either the end of the third or beginning of the fourth, where Jalen, like, the sequence was basically a missed shot, but then he got his own rebound, put it back. The next play, he had this weird, like, he went under the basket, but then, like, wiggled his way out and got it to Usman, who basically put in a bunny. And then, like, a few plays later, it was a turnover from Dinwiddie, and then he ends up taking it all the way back for an and one. And just the entire like sequence of that is just, to me, a player who, despite being 21 years old, just he's in such good control of his skills and like his ball handling capabilities and his command of decision making on the court. That's ridiculous for someone that young. So I totally agree with Cone. Like, I think this is the type of player we could expect for the rest of his career. The decision making from someone who knows nothing about basketball is just watching for fun, but his decision making with the basketball is just unbelievable. Not even for someone who's a rookie, but for somebody, even a veteran, like he makes good decisions consistently, and it's just don't know. It's just awesome.
Yeah, he's like, he really does feel like Shea Light out there a lot of the times with some of the movements that he's making, the smoothness to his game. I don't know, man. You give us a Shea Light type player with like high level defense already, and I mean, what do you do? Because if Shea's off the court, J-Dub's not the same type of scorer as Shea, but you have someone that can initiate the offense, and it's such a big difference, such a big reason why we're a lot more watchable and just like everything feels a lot more cohesive from last season to now is having a playmaker, a ball handler like J-Dub who can consistently get his teammates involved. I mean, Giddy's always been able to do that, but now you've got Giddy, you've got Shea, you've got J-Dub. Like we've been building this roster of guys that can handle the ball and make plays for others. And it just continues to expand with now having another star. And then we keep saying it, but you know, Chet will be back next season, or I mean, hopefully he'll be back by the time we play in the finals, but he'll be back at some point soon, hopefully.
So speaking on that, so I have to go here, you know, in a little bit, but I just love that the position that we're in, that we can kind of, you know, it's been a while since I've looked at the standings and been like, you know what, a 7-8 matchup with Minnesota, yeah, I think we got that. And then you know what, a 2-7 matchup with Memphis without Ja, or maybe even Ja coming back from like a long hiatus, you know what, we got that. And it's just kind of fun to just be looking at the standings and be like, yes,
yeah,
you know, we can finally, like, not just games of consequence,
like the old times,
but like imagination of consequence. Like, you know, it's just like looking at stuff and saying, yeah, we can do that. We can do that. So it's just fun with that. I'll leave you with that. You guys go ahead and, you know, run with this and kill it, brothers.
Take it easy, brother, man.
Thank you. Bye,
8-seed, baby.
Thunder up.
Yes, sir. I have one more thing to say about Dub before we move on. You know, you guys, I think all of you have referenced the play in which he stripped Bridges at the end and went down the other end and finished through contact for the
A1.
That
was okay. I didn't know if that was the same play. Sorry. I thought it was Spencer too.
No, you're good. I was just going to say, like, I dare not evoke the Brody's name, but the reaction afterwards in which he just let out like a primal scream, the crowd was going crazy, finishing through contact with one hand. It reminded me, like, completely different scenarios, different players. I'll grant you all that, all the caveats. But it reminded me of that playoff game against the Lakers in which Russell Westbrook finished through contact and went stomping, screaming up the court after he got the foul call. Like, it's – I love a player with that passion. And, I mean, we've seen throughout the year Dub's got that passion. And
it feels like I saw some people saying it on Twitter. Feels like a 2010 type year right now in Oklahoma City, man. Things feel real good. Like an MVP caliber player on the rise, multiple young stars. Like it feels really good right now in OKC. The vibes, when Giddy hit that three and he was going crazy, you saw Mark behind him even kind of give a little bit of a smirk. Like Mark is always so stoic. We could be about to win the finals and he's sitting there like with that.
He's like,
It looks like I've always said it looks like Mark has all the clues to solve a mystery. He just can't quite put it together and something feels off. He always
he's like in the penultimate chapter of the movie. He's almost
exactly.
There.
It's like he's sitting there. They're like, Mark, what are you doing? We solve the case. He's like, something's not right here. I don't think we got the right guy. Exactly. He always looks like that. Yeah. And then when Giddy hits that three and he's like smirking and Giddy screaming and Shea's like chest bumping him. And so is J-Dub and everyone's going crazy. Like it feels like we're on the verge of that arrival that Sam Presti talked about. I thought it might be next season. It felt like next year, oh, maybe we'll make that playoff push. It's now, like right here, we've got this chance. And I've fully convinced myself we're going to make the play-in at the very least. Mm-hmm. We'll see what happens from there, but, you know.
Yeah, I wanted and to throw then, out this type of – oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say last thing on – like I got two more things to say on Dub. You know, we talked about with Lou Dort how his shot making in the third quarter really helped kind of spark the run to put us over the top in the third quarter and obviously the game as well. But a play that I kind of bookmarked when it happened was at the very end of the second quarter, Josh Giddey got the rebound, was streaking down the court with like 4 seconds left for the layup. I think it was Dorian Finney-Smith that like completely erased his shot, but every step of the way, Jalen Williams was step by step with him, just trailing behind the play and read it perfectly. As soon as he blocked that shot, he went up, tipped it in before the buzzer went off to cut the lead from 12 to 10 and get a little bit of momentum going into the locker room. And you know, when you talk about how he contributes to winning, it's plays like that. It's hustle like that. Like, you know, in a second quarter of a game in the regular season, you know, maybe that's the dwindling seconds of the second quarter in the regular season. Like, sometimes that's when guys kind of take off. They let the energy kind of drain off going into the locker room. Like, okay, go get them in the second half. No, like, Jalen Williams went out there, put the hustle on, got the bucket, and sparked the run coming out of halftime. So, love that. And the last thing I'll say is, apparently, so Nikias Duncan tweeted, "I get so much joy from watching OKC." That was awesome. Mm-hmm. A certain Connor responded to that as well and said, "Me too." But somebody else responded, JJ Redick actually responded, said, "Same." And somebody asked JJ Redick, "Thoughts on Jalen Williams?" JJ Redick responded, "Man crush." And then he replied to that tweet and said, "No, seriously, he's going to be a star."
He also said that he's going to try and get that he's supposed to be on his podcast at some point.
So, yeah, he said he's trying to get Giddy too. Podcast.
Yeah,
man, that'll be good. It'll be cool to hear some more of that.
JJ Redick might be the best like basketball media guy out there right now.
Yeah, I was gonna say I don't listen to a lot of NBA podcasts, to be honest. Like, this is literally the only one I actually listen to, but the one I do watch a lot of is JJ. I just think his like analysis of the game is very like easy to digest as someone who is not as intellectual about these things. I like listening to him talk about it.
Yeah, man. Well, if I guess if you guys are gonna leave him to me, I'm just kidding. I'm gonna go to Cone first. I'm gonna let Cone have it because I know he's very excited.
Got the hezzy hay.
I don't know what he's gonna do. There's a couple options here. So Cone, what's your single large item for the day?
There are a couple options, but I'm just gonna take Shay. I guess I'll just keep it simple.
Ooh, you whore.
35 points, 7 boards, 4 dimes, 12 of 24 shooting. He started off like 1 for 5. They wouldn't give him a foul call. It didn't matter because then he shot 11 of his next 19. And all of a sudden he has 50% shooting, 35 points, 7. Like, it's a typical Shay game. Also, he and the rest of the Thunder guys have won me $200 tonight. So shout out to them. Appreciate that one.
Money.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't really know what there is really to say about Shay. It's funny. At the beginning of the game when he was 1 of 5, I think, he had like a turnover. I saw a Nets fan tweet out like, "McHale's got Shay locked up," and then, you know, you saw how that ended up going. It really doesn't matter because McHale is a phenomenal like defender. He was third place, ooh, I believe, in defensive player of the year last season.
God, I love that guy.
Yeah, he's not going to be in the conversation for this year, but you know, he's one of those defenders. Shay made it look like it was absolutely nothing in the second half. Like, he was also getting some switches, you know, attacking those guys. But even with Bridges guarding him, he was making him look silly a bunch of times. It's typical Shay stuff. And this is what the best players do. There are very few guys in the NBA that can truly stop a superstar offensively. And when you have a guy like Shay who's becoming that offensive superstar, I think he's a future MVP in this league. I said it for a long time, and it's so cool to see it now actually look possible sooner than later. I mean, I also said for a while he could be the best player on a championship team at some point. I think he's almost already at that point. Of course, you know, we haven't seen him in the playoffs at this level, which is another reason why I really want to make a play-in or playoff game in addition to just getting to see the whole team. Is I can't wait to see what Shay will do when the opposing team puts their best defender on him and says, you know, like, go ahead and beat us in a playoff series or beat us in a play-in game. Because I think Shay will. I think Shay will straight up beat them. However he's got to, he's going to go absolutely berserk. He's now tied once again for second place in the league with the most 30-point games. Something that at the beginning of the year when he averaged 30 coming out the gate, it was like, oh, this is amazing. He'll probably finish the season averaging like 27, 28 points per game, and that will be a phenomenal jump for him. Mm-hmm. He's going to finish averaging almost 32 points per game, most likely be a top 5 scorer in the league. And, you know, it's just it's been incredible to watch. And the fact that, like, I'm not desensitized to it because I still go crazy every time he pulls off something wild. But the fact that this is normal now from him against one of the best perimeter defenders in the league, it's just kind of ridiculous.
Yeah. That was what I was going to start by saying, is just like, we're like, Jalen Williams, oh my God, 23 points. That's crazy. And then we're just like, okay, Shay got like, you know,
Shay had like a 30 piece, an efficient.
Yeah. He had a 30 point night. It's like, okay, cool. But that's to your point. Like, it's crazy that we just expect that now, but that's what a superstar is. It's like how nobody in like, No Bucks podcasts are like, did you see Giannis got like 30 points tonight? That's crazy. Like, it's just, that's what he does. It's a superstar. So it's cool to see that he's moving into that field. I want to have a hypothetical. If betonline.ag, our sponsor, had this, which I know they don't, but if it was like Shai Gilgeous-Alexander wins the MVP, and then it's like every year, and you could bet on 1 year, what year do you pick in the future?
I pick 2025. I think okay. next season when we have Chet back, the way that we're going right now, I feel very confident in saying that we can be a really solid playoff team next year. But I think if you give Chet like another year to grow, you give Shai another year, like J-Dub another year, because to be an MVP, you've got to be one of those top seeds. And I don't know if we're quite there yet. Although I think
right.
when Chet comes back and if we make some moves, especially because say we have a great season next year, we can add more pieces the year following, which helps propel us up. And, you know, as Shai gets kind of that recognition for playing the playoffs, he'll get more of that notoriety too. So I think next year is a bit premature, but you give it another year. I think 2025 is the year I would take if I had to take one.
Yeah, I think that's safe. 2025 is a good year because everything Cone said, but also you have four picks in the 2024 draft, four first round picks. And I don't know, man, like there's a lot of like set in stone players in this rotation, at least in my eyes, that are already on this team. And then you add Chet, you add whoever you get in this year's draft. And I think that we're not going to bring in four rookies. I think that those picks are going to be used to bring in somebody to, you know, better this team. And so I think, you know, as Cone was saying, you know, a higher seeded team, you know, the best player who's putting up a performance like Shai's been putting up, is usually the one that kind of gets the look in the MVP discussion. And I think that in order for that to happen, you know, we might, you know, kind of unload the clip in that sense with the draft picks. So yeah, I'd say 2025 is cool. And I relish the year 2025 for when Shai wins the MVP.
I also, I've been seeing a lot of stuff that apparently the 2024 draft class is supposed to be really rough. Like that it's not, or at least in terms of
it
like right
makes
now
sense.
Yeah, in terms of right now, like the high school talent going into it is not great. Obviously there are going to be a bunch of guys that just pop off the page and become phenomenal throughout the season like it always is, but compared to like this year where everyone's like, oh, there's Victor Wembanyama, and last year it's like, oh, there's like, you know, Paolo and Chet and all these different guys, and then the year before it's like Cade and Mobley. This year there's not really that many guys like that. And so if there's ever a year for us to go ahead and say, hey, we're going to just, you know, like Dylan, you were saying, we're not going to bring in four rookies, trade off some of those picks to get better in the immediate term, especially if next year we're a solid playoff squad, a star becomes available. We're like, hey, we have four picks this year. We've got all these future picks as well. Like, what do you want to do type thing? Especially if, you know, like that 2024 pick is say five or six or seven, like top 10 from the Houston Rockets, you know, then that's also a great asset to use. So I think we're just set up so perfectly. Like everything is really playing out exactly how we could have asked for it.
Yeah.
That Presti guy knows what he's doing, dude.
Yeah, he's good at his job. They should hold on to that guy.
He's so good, yeah.
Yeah, well, a couple more things about Shai before we move on to my single origin item. See, I love doing single origin item because I let you guys have your single origin item, but then I get to say what I want to say too. So with Shai on the single origin item, the things that don't stick out on the stat sheet, just the amount of hustle this dude plays with. Like, he's a star in the NBA. Like, he's like a top 10 to 12 player in the NBA. And you don't see a lot of star players go down to the floor in a mix of bodies to try to get a loose ball for a possession. And we've seen Shai do it time and time again this year. And like I said, like, I love that hustle. Like, it's a great quality to have. What I don't love is seeing Shai grimacing in pain after he gets up from the hustle play. Mm-hmm. But specifically what he was doing in the second quarter, I think he scored like 8 straight points after he dove down for a loose ball and got the jump ball from, I think it was Nick Claxton. But yeah, he scored 8 straight points. And like, he was doing it in clear discomfort. Like, Shay, it's
yeah.
I'm getting choked up here again. Sorry. Shay is playing in like clear discomfort. Like, he's clearly in pain, but he's still putting this team on his back and, you know, just going out there and getting buckets and doing everything he can to win the game. And I also tweeted this out. Shay's the type of dude that will force you to pick the ball up and then pounce on top of you to grab the ball and try to force a jump ball and immediately just help you back up and pat you on the butt and say, good hustle.
And then beat you in the jump ball.
Yeah, even if you're a seven-footer. So, yeah, shout out Shay, man. You know, making winning plays out there. But, yeah, that leads me to my single large item. And I mean, there was four players that went off tonight, and so it's only fair that there was four of us tonight. So, Josh Giddey, man, the Thunder from down under, put up 15 points, 13 rebounds, 10 assists. He had two steals on top of that. Wasn't super efficient shooting the ball, 7-19, 1-3 from deep, but he really got it going. I think it was earlier in the fourth. Shay was off the floor.
Yeah.
Dario was in, and Giddey and Dario were just tearing the Nets up inside. Like, I think Giddey picked up like three or four assists just off of Dario Saric buckets. And, well, he only had 4 points, so he picked up two assists off of Dario Saric buckets. but I really liked what I saw out there. Like, you know, he was in full command of the floor. Only had one turnover to his 10 assists, which gotta love that ratio. Led the team in rebounding. And I just gotta say, like, from a team sense, I was gonna leave this for leftovers, but since we're talking about it, the Thunder's starting lineup had as many rebounds as the entire Nets roster tonight.
Hell so, yeah, dog.
That's,
we're going crazy on the boards. Jade about a double double, Giddey at a triple double.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was.
Dort had nine, Shay and Boom had seven.
Yeah, it was. We were boring out there, and we were getting destroyed in the first quarter on the boards. Like, it was really frustrating. I think Claxton had like four or five in the first quarter, and a few of them were offensive. And by the way, I want to give a quick shout out to Mark for pulling out Hack a Clax. I feel like we rarely see that at that point.
Love that strat.
Yeah, at this point in the NBA, I feel like it's very rare that we see teams do it. But Mark's like, hey, we're going to do this. And it worked. Like, I think he went two for four, two for five, or six. Like, I was just
in the 4 for 9 for the night.
Okay, yeah. And the time we were hacking him, I think he went like 3 for 6 or something like that, which you'll take.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, shout out to, like you were saying, shout out to Giddey. I kind of got off on a tangent there. Giddey was really good. He's been, you know, struggling to score a little bit. But when he gets the opportunity to just go out there and play make and just take over in that way, it's so fun to watch his ability to pick apart a defense. He did it really badly to Golden State last time we played. He did it again tonight. He was just completely, like you said, taking over. Felt like every time he was getting downhill to Dario. And Dario should have had an and one on that one play that they called an offensive foul, which Dario got called for two really bad offensive fouls in this game.
There was one where the guy's foot was in the restricted area, like very clearly, and he got offensive.
Yeah, there was that one where Cam Thomas was on his back and his head was just because of height difference. His head is at his shoulder, and he just kind of backed up a little bit. And Cam like did the thing where he throws his head back, and he got the offensive foul call. But Giddey was feeding him inside, he was kicking it all around to basically everybody, setting everyone up. It's just another example of how we have another high-level playmaker and someone that can just create plays for others. That's going to – this offense is – especially as guys continue to get better and we get more and more shooters, like, how do you stop an offense with Shay who can get downhill better than anybody in the NBA and shoot mid-range jumpers with ease? Well, also, he doesn't shoot a lot of them, but he can knock down threes pretty efficiently. Giddey can get downhill and just pick your defense apart. Playmaking wise, J-Dub can dunk on you, hit a mid-range, do basically everything that Shay can as like a lighter level. We have three-point shooters. Like, how do you stop this offense that we're making? There's just so many weapons on it, and I feel like Giddey gets forgotten about a little bit because it's like Shay has been so good and then J-Dub is like the new guy on the block. I feel like people forget a little bit about how Giddey's having a really solid rookie season and, you know, fourth triple-double of the year. So, shout out to the Wizard of Oz.
Yeah, man. I mean, he hit the biggest shot of the game. Like, you know, at that point, I think we were up 11, but Shay, you know, kind of going back to Shay, like, you know, he ended the night efficiently. Like, he was 12 of 24, 1-on-1 from three, 10 of 12 from the stripe. But I actually documented at like the, I think like 8 minute mark, Mikal Bridges hit a three in the corner right in front of the Thunder bench and kind of turned around and did his 3-point celebration right in Shea's face. And I was like, this is a developing story. I'm going to see how this goes. Shea only scored 6 points when he came back in. He missed like five or six shots down the stretch. So he clearly didn't have it going down the stretch. So to have the wherewithal to, you know, realize that he was bottled up on that possession and kick it out to Josh Giddey, and for Josh Giddey to have the confidence to just pull up despite his abysmal shooting night, you know, prior to that shot, and, you know, just drain it with confidence was just phenomenal. So, yeah. And, you know, I talked about playing with passion with Jalen Williams earlier. Josh Giddey flexing and screaming in celebration was just amazing, astounding. It's on the Bally Sports Oklahoma Twitter feed if you want to see the video. So
yeah, also I'm gonna shout out to Jalen Williams, another guy I feel like has gotten kind of overshadowed.
Boom Williams.
I love Jalen Williams so much, both of them, but specifically talking about J-Wo here, man. Every time he draws a charge and the other team just gets frustrated, it is so fun to watch. I'll see fans of other teams like melting down on the timeline because he's drawn his third charge of the game, and they're like, this guy doesn't play any defense. Oh, this is draw charges. And it's a skill, dude. It's a skill, and he might be the best in the league already at it as a rookie.
He's insane.
He's just like his feel – the wherewithal to know exactly where his feet are outside the restricted area every single time is very impressive. And he's just been such a fun story so far this season, drilling threes with so much confidence, taking charges. One of those like really weird and like niche type players that it feels like most high level teams have, where, you know, you're going to find very few players in the league, if any, that have the skill set of Jalen Williams, who can knock down threes at 40% and take charges basically from anybody. It's really fun, man. He's also been an incredible player to watch so far this season. Just an incredible draft class. You know, not Ooze's best game tonight, but he's had some great games recently. I haven't been in the pod over the past few nights when Ooze, especially against the Spurs, a game that we're not going to touch on because it was some ugly basketball.
Not great. Yeah.
The Jane Gang loved it, though.
Yeah, for sure, because he was the leading scorer for most of that game. He finished with 17, right, in that one? He was really good out there, and he's had so many great performances. So you've got the Jalen Williamses. One of them is competing for Rookie of the Year. One of them is the greatest charge taker to ever grace this beautiful league and game that we love. You've also got Ooze, who has been showing a lot of signs. Chet Holmgren, who fits this team perfectly, and I'm going to keep reminding people. In fact, if you haven't done this recently, yeah, he does play for us. Please go back and watch those Summer League highlights. Mm-hmm. That first game that he had that had me tweeting out that Chet was the greatest player of all time. That's how good it was. Actually, funny story.
Can you imagine if he didn't play in that freaking Seattle game? Like, I just
yeah, I can know. Imagine we'd be lifting the Larry O'Brien by yeah, they would have just, forfeited just, the season
it's just,
already.
It's just so much more annoying now that we know where we are position wise.
Yeah, but I think it'll work out in the end. Because I mean, in the end, like, it gave more opportunities to some of these other guys that now have a chance to go ahead and perform and learn. And Chet's gonna come back and do Chet things. So but real quick, funny story, I don't think I ever mentioned on this pod about the Chet Summer League game. My girlfriend was in town visiting me. Because we went to college together, but she lives about 3 hours away from me when I'm back home, where I am right now, actually. But she was visiting me down here, and we went to this brewery, me, her, and my mom. And, you know, they're talking, but I'm like, Chet, like, the Summer League game is coming on. I have to watch this. So as I'm firing off my tweets about Chet being the greatest player of all time and watching him go off, I'm sitting there watching on my phone, just like what they're talking to each other. I'm just completely locked in on the Chet highlights. I'm like yelling at this table in this brewery, screaming about Chet Holmgren, who nobody else probably knows what I'm talking about. My phone got low on battery, so I went back to the car for a couple minutes to put it in there to charge during halftime so I could keep watching Chet. But long story short, please go back and watch those Chet Holmgren highlights if you haven't already, because I've watched them about 50,000 times since that game. And I mean, I can keep saying he's going to fit this team perfectly and really make us a playoff type team, but it's, I mean, you look at us right now, we're the eighth seed and we don't have a guy who, in my opinion, is going to be a future defensive player of the year on the team. So,
yeah, for sure, man.
I do want to just chime in because I didn't know where we were going to plug in the other Jalen. I think it's just so funny to have like a utility player that's just really good at charges. It's amazing. It's so awesome. It's just like we have this guy and he's really good at it and there's nothing you can do about it. So I wanted to reiterate that again. The other thing though, because we were talking about some of the bench players and I was just kind of perusing the box score while this was going on. And I want to just give a shout out. What was the, Cone, you probably know this, Dylan, you probably both know, the meme of the guy who has like zeros on all it. What's the meme with the zero stat line? Tony Snell, yeah. The Tony Snell Award. I want to give it to Lindy Waters III.
Snell tonight?
He had 19 minutes played, 0 points, 0 assists, 0 rebounds. He was 0 for 3, so he actually did attempt shots. I don't know if Tony Snell attempted any shots.
He did attempt
zero
shots.
Blocks. Yeah, so it is the Tony Snell Award then. Zero wow. blocks, 0 steals, 1 turnover, 1 personal foul, plus 5 on the plus minus.
Wow, so the plus 5 Tony Snell, that's an impressive stat line.
That's a plus 5 Tony Snell Award. I just want to give the Tony Snell Award to Lindy Waters.
I didn't even realize he snelled. That's great.
He snelled, yeah. I was looking through that. I was like, he played 19 minutes, and he didn't do a damn thing.
It did not feel like he played 19 minutes. That's crazy.
Yeah. I saw that. I was like, that's hilarious. There. Dylan, he was plus 5.
Plus 5. Yeah, you felt the plus 5 in those minutes.
You felt 5 points on the scoreboard. That's what you felt.
Yeah, you were like, wow, we've improved our scoring margin. That's what you felt.
Our scoring margin, yeah.
Exactly. I felt 5 guys blow by him on consecutive possessions.
And guess what? We won his 19th by 5 points, Dylan. What do you want him to do?
Exactly. Don't hate him.
I mean, in terms of leftovers in this game, there's not much left to talk about. Isaiah Joe hit one of his 5 threes. The 3 was very timely, though. I appreciated that.
It was.
And yeah. I thought that he was actually part of the kind of group that helped come back. I think it was him, Dort, Dub, Shea, and Giddy, if I'm not mistaken. We're all out there. We were kind of playing small ball. Giddy kind of is the de facto center. And, you know, say what you want about Lindy Waters and Isaiah Joe. You know, they're both shooters, like shooting archetype. Joe at least
plays a fraction of defense. Lindy Waters, I don't know why you're lumping Lindy Waters and Isaiah Joe in the same sentence. Isaiah Joe had a negative plus minus. Lindy Waters was
Isaiah
plus
Joe was plus 11, my guy.
Oh, was he really? Oh, wow. I'm so sorry. I didn't actually look.
Unreal.
Alternative facts.
I love plus minus. It's so fun.
My box score says different.
Yeah. If we're going with just one more leftover from this game, just shout out Mikal Bridges. He's so nice, man.
Been good.
34 points.
I was watching the Brooklyn broadcast, and I might butcher this, but I think they said he's had 7 30-point games in the 14 games he's played as a Brooklyn Net.
Sounds
and
about right.
He had like 2 in Phoenix. So he's getting him more exposure with the ball is clearly good. He's a really good player.
He's averaging right around the same stats that Kevin Durant. Although KD's only played a few games in Phoenix, but he's averaging just about the same stats that KD's averaged in Phoenix through his first few games. So,
yeah, I want him on the team so bad. He's so much fun.
Yeah, it's a shame they won't trade him.
Yeah, that was something I was going to say. Like as my last thing, like I tweeted out, I would do things to get Mikal Bridges on the Thunder. Didn't say what kind of things, just things, and. You know, had some fans chiming in from both sides. You know, Thunder fans obviously saying they want him, saying packages they would give up for him, and Nets saying it would never happen. Like, Thunder fans, like, obviously, it would be awesome to have Mikal Bridges on this team. I want Mikal Bridges on this team. But let's not do what Toronto fans have done for Shai Gilgeous-Alexander the past couple of years and try to, you know, make campaigns to bring these players to our teams. You know, on these pipe shots, because like for one, Toronto has I guess, more of a reason to do it since Shea is from Toronto. Yeah. You know, we don't have that excuse. But second, just don't be like Toronto fans. Like, you know how annoying it's been. Not just Toronto fans, Knicks fans did it. Who was the other team that was throwing Shea? Oh, the Lakers. The Lakers thought that they could trade us Russell Westbrook and the two picks for Shea.
Like, they do that with everybody, though. It's just Lakers fans.
Yeah, so, like, let's not be like them. Let's enjoy him from afar. If the opportunity presents itself, absolutely, let's bring him on. But let's not be like them. Let's be better.
Speaking of Toronto, how poetic is it that to go 500 on the season for the first time, Toronto's the team that's standing in our path after all the Shea? Toronto. Yep, after all the, Toronto's going to trade for Shea. It's a matter of time until he comes home. And this is a chance to push them 5 games under 500 while we hit 500 on a season where we were supposed to be rebuilding and they were supposed to take a leap. Isn't that funny how it works?
Yeah, Brandon Raybar actually tweeted we're going against our toughest opponent on the season, going 500.
Yeah, man, we've looked really rough every time we've gotten to 500, so I'm hoping, but it feels different right now.
Yeah.
And I want to say this on the pod real quick because I told this to y'all. This is something I think since the trade, not the trade deadline, since the All-Star break, post-break, I was thinking about it just like where we were going to end up. 42-40 is the number that I have had pegged for us since the All-Star break. Ooh. It's looking like it's a possibility. That is the record that I think we will finish with from looking at our schedule. And I want to note something on our schedule real quick because I saw a Lakers fan because someone was like, oh, OKC is doing all this stuff. And they were like, yeah, but look at their schedule the next few games. So we do have a tough schedule coming up. We have Raptors, Suns, Clippers, Lakers, second half of a back-to-back. I really hope Shea plays in that back-to-back. So
I was going to say, I don't think he will.
I really hope he does. I hope they realize how big that game is.
There's conspiracy that he sits the front end of that back-to-back.
I would rather him sit the first half and play against the Lakers.
That doesn't make sense.
But the other back-to-back
is Hornets and Pistons. So
yeah, because after that stretch of those games, we have Blazers, Hornets, Pistons, Pacers. Like those four games. And then we finish with Suns, Warriors, Jazz, Grizzlies. We'll see if Jaw's back for that game. Kevin Durant will not be back for this upcoming Suns game on Sunday. So that's a real chance to take that. So I think there's a real shot that we're a game over 500 heading into the 3-game LA stretch. We'll see what happens against the Suns because they still are really solid without Kevin Durant. But I just want to remind y'all, 42-40 is where we're going to end up.
That would put us at like a 7 seed, I feel like.
I think it would put us. Yeah, we'll see. We'll have to see how the Lakers do. But I think I think we're going to end up 8, 9, or 10, somewhere in that range. But honestly, the fact we have the same record as because it's all really close. Like the Mavericks are 34-35. We're 34-35. The Lakers are, which by the way, I think us and the Lakers are going to be those last two teams in the play-in. Yeah, I think too. The Jazz, Pelicans, and Blazers are starting to fall a little bit. So I mean, I'm not really scared of – I mean, the Lakers are scary if they get LeBron back. That's a little scary. I think we can beat Minnesota. Dallas is interesting because, of course, they've got Luka. They've got Kyrie now, but they also have no defense whatsoever, and they've been below 500 in games that they've played with the two of them. So, I don't know, man. I'm feeling really, really good about the potential for us making the playoffs. I'm not going to say we're going to make it for sure, but I'm feeling good about it the more that I look at it, so –
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I think a couple weeks back, might have been 3 or 4 weeks back, it was a pod I did with Alex and Dolan, and my official prediction was that the Thunder end in an 8 spot. So we're there right now. So we just gotta hold the line, man.
Yep.
Yeah, I need to go take a look at some of these other, like the Timberwolves are a team we really need to have a rough stretch because if we can pass them, like that's so huge. But yeah. I don't know.
What is the Timberwolves schedule? I don't know if I looked that up.
Another reason tonight's win was so important was the Lakers throttled the Pelicans.
Which is probably, that's kind of the result I was looking for. I think I've kind of accepted that the Lakers are going to be one of those teams in the play-in, especially when LeBron, even like when LeBron comes back and all these different things, I think they will be the team alongside us that gets that second spot. Like we were talking about, And so I just want every other team that could potentially try and take the spot from us to just kind of go away. So Utah, Pelicans, Blazers, if any of those teams are playing like the Lakers or the Timberwolves or the Mavericks, I'm just rooting for the other teams to get out of our way at this point. I'm just looking for that. But the Timberwolves schedule looks like Celtics tomorrow, coming off of a loss against the Rockets. So hopefully that's a win for Boston. They play the Bulls, the Raptors, the Knicks, the Hawks, the Warriors, the Kings, the Suns, the Lakers, the Blazers, the Nets, the Spurs, the Pelicans. They've got kind of a tough schedule.
Yeah, it's pretty – yeah, there's some hard ones in there.
Yeah, it gets easier towards the end, but that stretch of Warriors in Golden State, Kings, Suns, and Lakers is really – and then even, like, the Hawks have been solid recently. The Knicks are good. It's a tough stretch. They've got a harder schedule than us, so –
I still am in like the Kings are bad mentality. So I see Kings, I'm like, oh yeah, that's an easy win. And it's like, no, that's pretty good.
Yeah. Which I actually wanted to bring up this real quick because I think it's interesting. Say we make the playoffs and we can face any of the top three seeds. And we're going to say for this that the Grizzlies have Ja back just to make it more interesting. Mm-hmm. Would you rather face the Nuggets, the Grizzlies, or the Kings in a playoff series? If they have Ja back, they'll still be missing Brandon Clark with injury, and I'm assuming Steven Adams will be back for the playoffs, so they'll probably have him too. But
yeah,
I don't know, man.
I definitely say not Nuggets. I say not Nuggets. I don't think I feel like Jokic is always just a bad matchup for us.
See, I think the Kings have pretty much dominated us every time we play them. The Grizzlies, I'm very scared of because we have no answer for Jaren Jackson Jr. He has his way with us anytime we play him. I'm not even worried about Ja, and I think the last time we played them, they didn't even have Desmond Bane, and it was still like that. But I don't know, man. Something about the Nuggets, like obviously the last time we played them, I don't think they had Michael Porter Jr. back at that point. I think Murray actually had a good game the last time we played them, but I don't know. I don't like either one of them, Cone.
Yeah, there's a reason. I will go with
the option for none of those, please. No.
Yeah.
I think like Nuggets to me historically is not. This is not recent. It's like for the last like few years. Like I feel like Jokic always has our number, so I just feel like anybody but the Nuggets. But that's just, I don't know. That's just a hunch.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, the Grizzlies potentially without Ja is easily the most ideal matchup if we could have one. But if Ja's back, it gets really tough because I do think, like, the Nuggets, I don't know if they don't really have an answer for Shea, but obviously, we don't have an answer for Jokic. We don't have a big. And if he just decides to take over, we're in big trouble. We're going to have to just hope they miss a bunch of threes. It's an 8 seed or a 7 seed playing a 1, 2, or a 3. So it's like not ideal anyway.
It's not ideal anyway.
Get one or two games at that point.
Yeah. Like, I mean, if we make the playoffs and win a couple of games, I'm totally satisfied with that outcome. Like, that is perfectly fine. That's what happened in 2010. Yeah, there you go. It's what happened with the Grizzlies against the Jazz that year when they kind of were about to break onto the scene, and then next year they broke onto the scene. Like they did that. I think there was another, or the Pelicans were supposed to this year if Zion didn't get hurt. They were the 2 seed for a lot of the year.
Yeah, they're looking good.
Yeah. So, but I think I might have to agree that the Nuggets are the team that is most enticing to me just from a matchup standpoint, because like you said, Dylan, Jaren Jackson destroys us. I don't really know if we stand a chance against if he's there. Ja Morant, the Kings also terrify me. Some people are like, oh, I want the Kings. They're the best matchup. They're an experience.
Man, their firepower is insane.
I do not want us to have to chase Kevin Huerter off screens. We don't have an answer for Domantas Sabonis. We don't have, like, Dort's going to do, I think he's going to do a solid job on De'Aaron Fox, but Fox just kind of seems to figure out ways to score in the clutch regardless. The Keegan Murray knocking down threes, that team, the defense isn't great, but the offense is unstoppable basically. Mm-hmm. So I don't want any part of what the Kings are going to do. So,
yeah. And the other thing with the Grizzlies is they've got a lot of long and physical wings to throw at Shea over the course of a 7-game playoff series.
Yeah, David Roddy was really bodying up against Shea. And just, I think over the course of a series, they're just, that physicality is going to weigh, is going to really like wear us down a ton. And, you know, against like the Nuggets or the Kings, it's not going to be as physical. So,
yeah. And I don't want to play against Dylan Brooks in a playoff series.
Me neither, man. Because if they win, I don't want to hear all that. I don't want to hear all that if they win. But if we beat them, it would be so super satisfying.
Yeah, it's not even that. Like, I don't want to run the risk of him, like, doing one of his dirty plays on Shea. And
that's also
having him this time. Liability. Like,
I would be irate. I would change my name from Dylan, even though I spell it right and he spells it wrong.
You just can't be associated. I agree.
The way he does, the way he spells it is ridiculous. You can't have an I in your name if you're Dylan.
All right, boys. Well, hey, let's check out the Thunder schedule coming up. Let's do some predictions. So, I put this tweet out earlier on, and this was including this Nets game. So between the Nets, Raptors, and Suns, those were our next three games. I said that we win two of them. So we won Nets. So we're halfway there. How do you guys think the Raptors Suns go?
I'm riding the high. I'm going 2-0.
2-0 with it. I like it. What about you, Tierney?
We're just doing the next two. I'm going to say
right now. Yeah. Well, I'm going to move to the next segment in a second.
Okay. So I'll say 1-1. I'm going to try to go to the game on Sunday. I was trying to go to the game tonight, but Alex and Jerry were busy. So, if I go on the game on Sunday, I want to see a win. So I'm going to say we lose to the Raptors, win to Phoenix.
I gotcha. I said we win two of these on Twitter, but I'm going to kind of change my mind here, and I'm going to go with Kona and say we win both of these next two, because we heard after the last Suns game that Shea is circling this Suns game because he didn't get a play in it. Like, he's very excited to play in it. Obviously, they don't have Kevin Durant, so that's a huge loss for them. But they still have Devin Booker, who could drop 45 on your best defender.
And he seems to hate us for some reason.
Yeah. Why is Shea circling the Suns? Just because it's
there? Because he missed it. From the back to back. Yeah. And I think he just wants to, you know, compete against Chris Paul because, you know, the whole mentor mentee kind of thing.
Okay, that makes sense. Yeah.
And then we'll just go to the next segment. We won't cover the rest of the whole season, but the next segment is
42-40. We're done.
The next segment is,
you can figure it out for yourselves which ones we win and lose.
Yeah, exactly. Just as long as you get to 42 in the win column, you're fine.
Well, the next segment is the road trip, in which we play the Clippers twice, and then the Lakers, and then Portland Trail Blazers. I said I think we win two in this. I think I'm trying to be as objective as possible in saying that. Tierney, I'm going to go to you first. What is your prediction for that stretch?
It's the all the way to Portland, you said?
Clippers, Lakers, Portland, yep.
Okay. 0-4, Josh Giddey gets 2 triple-doubles.
All right, I hope this is the reverse jinx.
I'm not Dylan. We've talked about this. 0-4.
Okay, that's fine.
Josh Giddey 2 triple-doubles, though.
Okay, Cohen, what's up?
Don't care. That doesn't work for the 42-40 agenda. I'm also going to go.
Statistically, it does. Statistically, it does.
Statistically, there's a chance we're going to go on a big win streak afterwards. Yes. I'm also going to go 2-2. I think we take one of those Clippers games, we take one of the Clippers, two of the Clippers, and why can't I do math in my head? One of those games in the three, and then the Blazers game. Good Lord, that destroyed me.
One of the LA games, is that what you're saying?
One of the LA games. Thank you. My God, I could not.
One of the games in Los Angeles.
Two letters just completely destroyed my entire way of processing thought. My God.
They do that to you sometimes.
Oh,
that's amazing.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All right, boys. Well, we've gone about an hour. I mean, I think everybody can tell we're excited. We have high hopes and expectations for this team. Before we get off of this podcast and retire until the next time, the college basketball NCAA tournament starts this weekend. So let's kind of close out here and just talk our Final Four championship picks, what have you. If you guys have them pulled up, I'll go to Tierney first. Tierney, you brought this up to me in text message. What's your Final Four, sir?
That's true. I did. Okay. So, okay. So anyone who follows college basketball, knows about the Alabama stuff. And I'm sorry, I'm still going to do it. I think Alabama is really good. I have them in my Final Four. And then I'm trying to find that. I've got like, I was telling these guys before we got on, I've got like five brackets. I don't know which one I'm going to choose here for my actually the one I want to publicly say, but Alabama's in all of them. That's not the right one. I'm going to say Alabama. I have Kansas. I have Marquette. I love Marquette. Just ever since Dwayne Wade played for them, I just love them. I don't know why. I haven't watched them at all. But I love them. And then I think I'm going to go with – I was going to say Xavier. Hold on. Yeah, I'll go with Xavier. So Alabama, Xavier, Marquette, Kansas. That's my Final Four. And then I'm going to say Alabama wins it all.
Okay. I would say I also have Alabama in the Final Four here. I mean, what Brandon Miller's been doing this season, despite
he's awesome. You know,
what may be happening off the court or may not be happening off the court, is just insane. And they got some other hoopers on there with Ricky Council and Noah Clowney as well. So definitely have Alabama there. I have Houston in here in my Final Four. Shout out to Jairus Walker, who I hope to be seeing in a Thunder jersey possibly after the draft, alongside Marcus Sasser, who was one of the best returning players in college basketball. Hopefully he's good to go for the tournament. I have Arkansas in the Final Four.
Ooh.
And wow. Why I have Arkansas in the Final Four is that team has looked completely different since Nick Smith has returned to the lineup. I think the two-headed monster of Anthony Black and Nick Smith kind of give me shades of De'Aaron Fox and Malik Monk back in the day in the Kentucky days, just the 1-2 punch at the guard spot. Obviously, the Arkansas team, I think they were in the Elite Eight last year. So, you know, shout out to Boone Williams. He's on our team now. But a lot of that team came back, and so they have that experience, and they're hungry for more. So, I have Arkansas there. And then I have Kentucky, and I don't care what you guys say. It's 100% of my pick.
Not the same Kentucky, Dylan.
I'm always going to put Kentucky in the championship. I'm always going to have them winning it.
Wait, so you have Kentucky beating – hold on.
Alabama, yes.
Alabama, you have them beating. You have them beating Duke,
potentially. Oh, no, I have Duke getting upset in the first round.
Yeah, or Roberts beating Duke. I'm not moved at all.
Yeah, that's why we were talking about this before. Oral Roberts. I'm 100% on Oral Roberts. They're the only Oklahoma school, and screw Duke. But you have them beating
I have them beating Providence. Kansas I have them State. Beating Kansas State. I have them beating Marquette. I have them beating Marquette? Purdue. I have them beating Alabama.
And Purdue?
Yes.
You're so – listen, I can't say anything because my team was the only – shout out North Carolina, only team ranked number one at the beginning of the season that didn't make the March Madness. It was the most disappointing season of all time. But that is still crazy.
Listen, Tierney, I don't necessarily believe it's going to happen, but I believe it could happen, okay?
That's all you need. All you need is the belief.
That's all you need, I guess. Now, we've been talking about believing for the Thunder, so I guess I can't.
Hey, mm-hmm. Ted Lasso comes out tomorrow, so believe.
It's true.
Yeah, it does.
It's a great show.
Best show on television. Like, let's just call it. All right, Colin, what's your Final Four in your championship here?
Well, this is really interesting because Tierney, no, I have the we have the exact same Final Four.
Alabama, no way.
Alabama, Marquette, Xavier, Kansas is the exact same Final Four I have.
I thought you were going to go Virginia somehow, but
no,
you're
Virginia
more reasonable than Dylan. I see.
As biased as I want to be, Virginia is going out to Alabama in the Sweet 16, unfortunately. So yeah, like you said, just for some reason, I have not watched as much college basketball as most people this season. I've kind of just paid attention to prospects whenever possible. So it's probably not the most educated takes, but you know, sometimes those are the ones that work. So yeah, I've got Alabama versus Marquette. I've got Xavier versus Kansas. I've got Marquette coming out of the game against Alabama to face off against Kansas in the championship. And I've actually got Marquette winning the whole thing is the way that I decided to go. Yeah, so there we go. That's when you were giving your four, I was like, oh, okay. Like, okay, I feel good now. Like, you've got one of them, you've got two, you've got three. And then you're like, but this last one, I think I'm going to go with Xavier. And I was like, well, my whole section's going to be boring now because we have the literal exact same Final Four. So
they're absolute guesses, though.
Yeah, but they're, I mean, because they match my guesses, they're the right guesses.
They're the good guesses, yeah.
I wanted to ask if y'all had any, like, Cinderellas going far.
Let's see.
One of my wildest picks, I have Creighton going to the Elite Eight. I don't know why. I just kind of dig their logo. And
shout out Trey Alexander.
I had them in the Elite Eight.
Trey Alexander from Edmond, Oklahoma. He plays on Creighton.
Oh, they also got Baylor Shireman, who was one of the top transfers in the offseason, and they've got Arthur Kaluma, who is a legit draft prospect. So they've got some players.
I had I'm just looking at my – I have another bracket that's like the all my upset picks. I have Vermont going to the Elite Eight somehow.
Isn't Vermont a 15?
They are a 15 seed. You're right, Cone.
Wow.
Love it.
Who are they playing again in that first round?
They play Arizona, who is really good. Oh, no, they don't. They play Marquette, who you have winning. So, sorry.
Yeah, that would be a rough outcome if that was the bracket that worked out for you.
I don't know why I picked Vermont. I just was like, I like their logo, I guess. I don't know.
It is a really fun logo. Every time I see Vermont, I want to pick them to win just because I can't even remember. I think there was
thing.
Vermont. Don't they have like the little, it's like the little, it's what's the little, what's the name of the monkey? It's like the,
yeah, it's like an animal of some kind around the V.
Oh, they're a catamount. It's a catamount or catamount.
Yeah, that's catamount. Yeah.
That's Thank what it you. Is. Thank you, Google. It's a nice logo. What can I say?
That's hilarious. Yeah, when you're doing brackets, I mean, you know upsets are going to happen. So I always have like a random lower seed in the Final Four just because I'm calling my shot.
Oh, I also had Drake in the Elite Eight. I didn't just notice that.
I didn't know Drake was in the tournament, but they always make noise.
I've got Kentucky losing in the first round to Providence.
Yep.
So that's where I'm at right now.
I also did that.
See, this is my thing.
Only because of Dylan.
Yeah, this is my thing about losing in the first round. Cal cannot afford to lose in the first round again. Like, if he loses in the first round, he's gone. Like, he's out.
So far, baby.
But also, there is a fun element in this. Providence best player, Bryce Hopkins, actually played for Kentucky last year. So, He's had a good season at Providence.
Revenge
he's not like one of the best players or anything like that, but in the nation or anything like that, but he is a good player. I do think that Jacob Toppin, Obi Toppin's brother, who plays for Kentucky, will probably draw the assignment to guard him, and I'm confident in that matchup. That's all I got to say.
That was the only reason I picked Providence is because I had been listening to some college basketball podcasts. I don't normally listen to them, but they were like, this guy, he transferred from Kentucky because he didn't get enough minutes. It's going to be a revenge game. And I was like, okay, that's all I need.
Providence. I'm all about revenge narratives. I don't care how long ago it was. Every time it's a player plays
or if it's even
team,
like actually a thing. I just assume it's to be a thing.
Like Anthony Davis tonight against the Pelicans, he went off, and I mean, revenge there's a revenge game narrative right there. Also, I want to note Blazers are about to lose by they're down 16 right now to the Knicks, so they're going to fall to 31-38 on the season. So they're pretty well out of our way at this point. It feels like
love it. Also want to note that Anthony Davis is already ruled out for the Rockets game tomorrow, so maybe the Rockets could do us a little favor.
Please, Houston, please.
They already beat Boston, man.
They're gonna mess up their own draft pick at the end of the season here and give us a little bit of a boost in the play-in race.
Beautiful.
Man, I need it.
That would be incredible.
I did want to ask about the last thing I wanted to ask for the bracket. Is there any we talked about Brandon Miller, and I think Dylan, you mentioned somebody, but is there anybody in the final four for your guys' final fours that you like for the Thunder? Because I know Brandon Miller is not gonna be one we get based off of our projected draft pick, but I have not been I usually do all my scouting during March Madness, and I make all of my wild assumptions about players then, so I haven't really had a chance to do that yet, but you guys might be, you know, watching closer than I have.
Yeah, I mean, I guess if we're I really think Grady Dick is he would be a solid piece on the team if we end up making the play-in but losing, and we're like kind of on the edge of that lottery to not being in the lottery, even if we end up making it and say we're like the 8 seed. Maybe there's a chance he ends up falling there, but, you know, gives us some really, really solid shooting, a lot more defensive, like a lot of solid defensive upside too. I could see him being a really solid just connecting piece that would be amazing to fit this team if we end up kind of around that range. So he's a player that I'm liking that. And then, like, obviously, like you said, Brandon Miller, although there's no chance we have the chance to draft him, which is unfortunate, but yeah.
Yeah. And I kind of mentioned him, Jairus Walker, out of Houston. I mean, he's like a 6'9" forward, like carved out of marble, can pretty much do everything on the floor offensively and defensively, to some extent. I just really have enjoyed his improvement throughout the season, and like just a dog defensively, and, you know, can get to a shot in a variety of ways. Anthony Black out of Arkansas. I know Andrew Schleck is super high on him. I don't personally love him in the draft because he can't shoot it. And like, I think if there was a year that the Thunder were going to prioritize shooting in the draft, it's freaking this year. So I don't love that fit, but he is a guy. And also, like, I mean, if you wanted to get crazy, Case Wallace out of Kentucky. And no, I'm not just saying this because he's out of Kentucky. He's legitimately probably the best guard defender I've seen in college basketball in, like, the past decade. And not only that, like, there was a stretch in the season he was shooting 40% from three. That's dipped down a little bit because he's dealt with injuries, but he's still shooting, like, 35% from three on four attempts a game. Can distribute the basketball as well. So I really, really like Case Wallace. Yeah, that's probably it out of my final four.
All right. I don't have anybody. That's why I asked you guys, because I'm horrible with this.
Dylan, I also love Walker's game. If he could end up here, it would be incredible. Once again, I don't think we're going to get the chance to draft him, but
yeah, he's skyrocketed, man. It's crazy. Yeah.
I hate when the players I like get too good and then I can't get them.
They're too good. Dang it.
It's like peak at the right time, man. I also want to throw out, you know, obviously we're going to have our new ceiling circuit where we have all the draft guys, Mavs draft. I'm going to try to get some other draft people on here just so we can have like a bunch of different opinions so we can like cover all our bases on the draft. Indiana has two guys that are actually hyphenated names. I think his name's Trace Jackson Davis and Jalen Hood Scafino. Both are guys that kind of fit the Thunder profile. Long wing type players who can, you know, put the ball on the floor, put the ball in the basket in a variety of ways, and, you know, are athletic and get after it defensively. So those are also guys that if we were to fall out of the lottery, I wouldn't be mad about getting them either.
Just give us full hyphenated name rosters.
That'd be so Alexander.
Fun. Yeah.
Rename the team to Hyphenation.
Mm-hmm. Build the longest last name lineup possible.
Mm-hmm. Just like, have the jersey printer people in a tussle.
Just make a circle around the number. TJ Houshmandzadeh.
All right. It's so fun to think about. March Madness in general is one of my favorite times of the year, even though, like I said, I don't watch. I don't watch as much college basketball as most people just because I don't really have time to do it. But You know, March Madness going on. We've now got an OKC playoff hunt to like pay attention to, and this team is playing super well, and then the playoffs around the corner. It's the best time of the basketball year, so very excited for that.
What a time to be alive, boys.
It really is. What a time to be a Thunder fan, because, you know, either we don't make the playoffs and we end up watching these great prospects that we get one of, or we end up making the playoffs and we see this team finally make a return and we end up winning the championship. So either way, we're gonna have a really good offseason afterwards. So
yeah. Oh, yeah. And Ted Lasso comes back on tomorrow.
And Ted Lasso comes back.
So excited.
If anybody has Apple TV Plus login, they want to slide your boy. Dolan is not getting Apple TV Plus until Ted Lasso is done, so I can't watch it until then otherwise. So if you got that, slide it at your boy.
But, same, I think.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, no, I got you, Dolan. I got you, Dolan. I got you covered.
I'll bet. Let's go. All right.
Let me know after this.
What a time to really be alive.
Absolutely.
What a time to be alive,
I'm
boys.
I'm stoked now. I was worried I wasn't going to be able to see Jason Sudeikis on my screen tomorrow, but Matt Tierney saved my life. I'm sorry I called you a wet blanket. I'm sorry I called you Jared.
Yeah, after all that you've done to Tierney, he can't even hear. He doesn't even know like what is happening right now. His headphones just cut out for those of y'all that can't see. We're currently watching Tierney trying to figure out what's happening. Dylan, now's your chance to say more nice things, but he'll never know.
This is amazing. All right. Well, I relish the opportunity, but before we close out, I just want to say a couple things. First of all, if you haven't already, follow your boy on TikTok. I tried to get Cone on the TikTok game. He fell off a little bit, so I stepped in his shoes. I'm still waiting on the 3-cone follow, by the way, sir.
Oh, I need to do that for you.
But yeah, I'm on TikTok at ThunderChats. I'm making a variety of videos, a lot of
your last content, video. So. Your last video, by the way, was very good. Like editing wise, that was very good. I just want to shout that out.
I appreciate that. Yeah, I'm kind of getting in my bag. I'm working with some of No Ceiling social media people. They're showing me some tricks of the trade. So I'm trying to, you know, up my TikTok game a little bit, and you know, we'll be pulling some clips from the podcast, much like we did with our Boom Williams nickname one. So be on the lookout for that. But yeah, follow me at ThunderChats, just like I am on Twitter. I think I'm at like 83 followers now. So I would love to get to 100 in the next day or two. That would be amazing. So you know, just trying to look to kind of keep growing this thing. I'm having a lot of fun with it, having a lot of fun interacting with people I see on Twitter and also people that I don't see on Twitter. So definitely hit me up on that and tell a friend to follow me as well. So I would appreciate that. But other than that, the other thing that I want to say is this podcast once again is brought to you by betonline.ag. I realized that I had to say that at the end of every podcast as well before we started recording. So now that I've done that, I hope everybody has a great night. God bless. Hoop when you can. And as always,
Thunder up.
Thunder up.
Thunder up.
Thank you for listening to the Topic Thunder podcast. Our podcast is available to subscribe on Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, and Google Play, or anywhere else you listen to your podcast. Be sure to leave us a 5-star rating and a positive review, and follow us on Twitter at OKC Topic Thunder.
Thunder up!
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.